Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, "Once gay, always gay." How do you respond? "My child just told me he's gay. What can I do?" What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning and welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. I'm very glad you could join me this morning. You may or may not personally know someone or a family struggling with the brokenness of same-sex attraction. It may or may not be something you have to deal with within your own individual church. That said, we never ever know just who God may put in the pathway of our life to minister to. His Way Out Ministries is here to walk alongside you and share the experience of many years in ministry to see and help persons through this particular area of struggle in life. We are more than willing to meet with you and your church. We offer a variety of workshops, with each workshop designed to assist the church in dealing with the complexities of same-sex attraction and the many related issues. For more information regarding our workshops, please visit our website, HisWayOut.com. Homosexuality is not simply dealing with an issue. We are ultimately talking about people. People whom God loves, people for whom Jesus died. Persons who need love, care, and guidance in leading them into a deep, genuine, personal, intimate relationship with God the Father. The question today remains, are we ready for this mission? Are we prepared? I am very pleased to share with you this morning that joining me on the phone from Tucson, Arizona, is Carol Wagstaff. Carol is a friend of many, many years, indeed a ministry partner of many years. We have served together on the mission field in Guyana, South America, and Trinidad and Tobago, and I've had the privilege of being a speaker at many, many conferences sponsored by Livingstone's Ministries, of which she is the founder. Carol, good morning. Good to have you.
Good morning, Philip. It's great to talk to you.
Let's begin by your sharing how the subject matter of homosexuality personally impacted your life, because this is indeed a subject that you speak to not only personally but professionally. Indeed, correct?
Yes, yes, very much so.
Would you share a brief testimony with us?
I'd be glad to. You know, I grew up in a Christian home, Philip. We often think sometimes that we get into trouble when we're away from Christianity, but I grew up in a Christian home. My father was a pastor, slash college professor, part-time. So I grew up in a good environment and sort of thought, because I had kept myself pure in the early years of my life, that I was sort of a goody-two-shoes. I was going to do everything right, and life was going to be perfect, and I was going to move on. And went to a Christian college, met a young man there, and became very interested in him. We developed a relationship, and we married just as I was graduating from college, and turns out that he struggled with homosexuality. I did not know it going into the relationship. So it was a difficult thing. He was not really willing to admit what was going on in his own life, and at that point in time, which was quite a few years ago, it was not something that was talked about openly, and it was such a sense of shame. And he was serving as a youth pastor in a church that we attended, and so he was expected, of course, not to be engaged in anything like homosexual or sexual behavior. And so for a long time, we actually went for counseling to three different counselors, And it really didn't even come out during the time that we were in counseling. So it was after we had broken up our marriage that he actually admitted what was going on in his life. And eventually he died of AIDS. I think the impact on me was profound. I think that I was extremely innocent and naive as a young girl and had no idea that something like that would happen and that eventually divorce would be the result. That was the last thing I really wanted in my life. So it was very heartbreaking to me. I really loved him and wanted very definitely to remain with him. He was a very excellent youth pastor. In fact, the senior pastor who invited us to be on staff with him used to describe him as a Pied Piper. The kids loved him and followed him. And so the way that it ended was just so poor, and I was so sad that it ended in such a way that he went on to live homosexually and eventually died of AIDS. And I went on in my own brokenness and continued to have some issues.
Thanks so much for sharing. Obviously, for many, homosexuality often seems to be someone else's problem until it comes knocking on your personal front door, doesn't it?
Oh, it really does, Philip.
Especially
really
for
does.
Christian families, parents
yeah.
in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And because I know Livingstone's Ministries well, because you and I have been friends and ministry partners for many, many years,
mm-hmm.
and given the primary focus, ministry focus of Livingstone's Ministries dedicated to the family, where does a family begin to pick up the pieces after learning of a child's same-sex attraction? Where do they start?
Oh, that's a good question, Philip. It really is. I've tried to think about that because so often emotionally our response we have trouble controlling. So many of the parents that I know will have an angry response or they'll burst out crying or they just have a hard time handling it because it seems so far removed from what they ever thought would happen in their own family.
Right.
So I think the best thing is to, even as we're going along in life and raising our children, to understand that there will be issues with our children, and we can't control that. Their life is impacted by society and culture and things that happen to our kids, so many different things that impact their lives, that we will encounter issues and that we need to remember to hold our emotions in, because I've heard several stories of kids whose parents have reacted in a negative way and cut them off and that kind of thing, and that's the worst possible thing that can happen.
Yes.
In the case of a parent and a child that's struggling with same-sex attractions. And I think it's so important, Philip, to understand that so many times when we learn about our kids, it varies in terms of their age. Sometimes it starts very early, and the parent thinks nothing can change, so no, I've raised a homosexual child, or I'm going to have a homosexual child, when indeed it's not that fixed.
Yes.
There is hope. And so to come into the issue with a sense of hope that with God there's nothing that's fixed and cannot be changed. And so to understand that this is not the end. Just because your child comes to you with these issues in his life, it is not the end.
Yes.
And so I think it's so important to keep the thought of hope alive and not to come down and just succumb to depression and fear, which is often what we do.
Absolutely. And I so greatly appreciate what you've just shared, because I was rethinking many, many, many years ago when I announced to my own family my issue with same-sex attraction. I remember sharing the news with my mother, and my mother literally hit the kitchen floor. This occurred many, many, many years ago. At that particular time, the whole subject matter of homosexuality wasn't close to being talked about then as it is today.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there was nowhere to go to get help, any sense of encouragement or hope.
Mm-hmm.
So we did the best that we could. But thankfully, today, we're much more knowledgeable, and there is help available.
Yes, praise God for that, because
yes.
I think of all the people, even at the time that I was going through it, it was not talked about. It was very much kept undercover, and there was no place really to go There were psychologists that I found out later that handled this. In fact, you know, it was really interesting in doing some of my own research on this issue, Philip, how some of the psychological people that were involved in helping those who struggle with homosexuality had a higher percentage of change than we do these days. And I think it's because culture puts so much pressure,
yes,
that this cannot happen, and there's no way that it's going to make a difference, even if you get help.
Yes.
So it's wonderful to see what God has brought about in ministries like yours and the opportunity to work with Living Stones, which I had, and to see how God has changed lives. In fact, you know what was so fun, Philip? I got a Christmas card from one of the families that I ministered to there in Southern California, and their daughter was involved and had been for a couple of years. And as I was leaving the ministry to turn it over to Denise Schick, the mother told me that the daughter had some interest in a young man. Well, when I got the Christmas card, I found out that her daughter had married, and now she's pregnant with a baby, and I was just rejoicing in the Lord.
Mm, yes.
Because there is possibility for change, and it's so wonderful.
Yes. Interesting that you brought up the word culture. Mm-hmm. And I have been greatly, greatly concerned for quite some time that on this subject matter, the whole topic of homosexuality, too often today, what is being affirmed is not the truth, but culture.
Yes.
And that often has some very dire consequences to it. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
I agree so much. You know, and I can kind of relate to that because it's young people normally that pick up on the vibes of what's going on in the culture, and they believe anything that they hear on television,
yes,
or radio. They don't have the maturity to understand that what they're listening to is not viable. It's not true often, and sometimes it's even put out there because there's a desire to influence people towards this issue.
Yes.
So it's tragic. I think of the young men and women that I dealt with in the ministry and how they were so deceived and how they were so easily influenced. And that part is very difficult for families, I think, because kids will tend to believe what's going on in the culture rather than their parents,
yes,
and the church. So that makes it even more difficult.
Let's turn our attention for the next few moments, if you will, to parents in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Most parents experience some measure of guilt regarding the homosexuality of their child.
Yes.
Should parents blame themselves?
No, I don't believe they should, Philip, and this is why. All of us are guilty in some manner about the way we raise our children. I look back, I have two sons and now some stepchildren, and I look back and I think, wow, you know, what I thought was true when I was 20 or 25 years old raising my boys, that I thought I was doing the right thing, and I thought I knew how to handle children. And the reality is that we duplicate how our parents treated us. And that can go back several generations. And so to say you're guilty, sometimes we can't control what we think and know to be true. I think what I want to say to parents is, don't feel guilty about it. You're just normal.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I want you to look at is, though, be open to the fact that there may be some things that God wants to change in your life,
yes,
that would make a difference in your relationship with that child. So, no, but you know, the other thing that I think, Philip, is that often parents have such a sense of shame. I've decided in my own life that that's even stronger than guilt.
Yes.
They feel so badly about what's happening with their child. I've had parents tell me on one occasion or another that they'd rather be dead than to have their child be dead than to deal with homosexuality. And I know they don't want their child dead. What they're expressing is a desire that they don't know what to do.
Yes.
And they feel like that it's already a closed book. There's no hope. And so it's that depth of pain and concern in which they express that. But I really believe that with that, there is a sense of shame. How could I have raised a gay son? What did I do? And they start looking back through their lives of all the things that might have happened, what way they might have impacted their child, and what they might be able to do to change. And so it's a very disheartening and painful experience for parents.
Yes.
And so I think that's what we need to be aware of, is that it will be normal for us to grieve because the loss is considerable.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you and I both know all too well that the whole behavior of same-sex attraction, there are so many various contributing factors to a man or woman struggling with this particular form of brokenness. So for parents in particular, just single themselves out and heap all the blame upon themselves that they are somehow the sole energy behind their having this particular problem is very, very misguided. And I would submit also, let's take it a step further, nobody wins in the blame game.
That's right.
Nobody does. So again, it's a very complex behavior, and parents, especially Christian parents, they will often turn inward and think somehow that this is all their fault. Mm-hmm. And we have the opportunity to share with mom and dad, don't allow the enemy of your soul to lead you into thinking that this, again, is all your fault, because it's much, much deeper than that.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I remember some years ago, I was working with Barbara Johnson. You remember that she had Spatula Ministries, and I remember a letter that she got from missionaries on the field, Christian parents whose son had decided that he was gay. And they felt like they had to resign their position as missionaries because they would not be able to tell their son, or would not be able to talk about their son because he was gay. And they blamed themselves and felt they were unworthy to be in ministry. And I just broke my heart. Because I thought, those people are serving God, and they're doing the best they know how, and God is using them, and Satan is convincing them, because they have a gay child, they can't be in ministry. And I just still, when I think about that, and I think since that time of the pastors that I've met with who have gay children, and how difficult that is for them, because somehow they blame themselves so much that they disqualify for ministry. And I just want to encourage them and say, no, no, no. You are, God's just preparing you for better ministry. That's what's happening.
Yes.
So, and God will use you in the lives of your child.
I would submit that for the majority of men and women struggling with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction, the majority of these men and women, they want to know, how did I get here? How did this service in my life? This isn't something that I sought. And we do have to consider the dynamics of the family.
Yes.
We have to look at the temperament and the interests of the individual.
Yes.
We have to consider the possibility of abuse, mental, emotional, and sexual. There, again, are so many contributing various factors to this form of brokenness. Again, I'm sharing that because I don't want parents to single themselves out and put all the blame on them, because the blame, if they're walking under that cloud of condemnation, that's from the enemy, not from God the Father.
I really agree with that, Philip, 100%, because, and I've even said to some parents, if you wanted to try to make yourself, your son, gay, you would have a really hard time.
Yes.
Because it is so complex, and it has so much to do with the mind and emotions and experience and influences. It's very, very complex.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so important to keep parents, keep telling them, it's not your fault. It's not something that you can make happen.
Yes.
It's part of what the experience of life, and God knows about it, and God hears your pain, and he's there to help you. So I really agree with you 100% on that.
Well, I'm so grateful today that we have many ministries around the world and churches to come alongside of individuals and families impacted by same-sex attraction, because heaven knows, once again, the myriad of emotions, denial, anger, guilt, grief, these individuals need to be given a safe environment to come into and share those deep-rooted feelings and emotions, not to keep them inside, not to stuff them, but to let them out, because I really believe when these deep-rooted emotions are spoken, that's when God says, okay, now let's go to work.
That's right.
Because he's there.
Yes. But, you know, there is a time, a period of time, that parents need to process it. And I think that's the difficult part, Philip, because there is sometimes the grief is so very deep for them that they can't even acknowledge the reality of homosexuality in their child. Or they will keep trying to come up with things like, well, this isn't really true. Tell their children this, they'll tell them. This is not true. You're not gay. I never saw, you know, anything that's even smacks of being gay with you, so you just need to forget it. And they'll come on very strong sometimes with the child, denying the reality of what the child is feeling. And in fact, there may be truth in what they're saying, that this is not what they are, but for the child who's struggling with those emotions, they definitely need to know that the parent is open to listening.
Yes.
And open to hearing what is on their hearts.
And you know, in reality, too, long before often the individual discloses their intense battle with same-sex attraction, long before that person, that individual, announces it to the family, they have been in deep conflict, often for a very, very long time.
Yes.
And the very moment that that individual shares, "Mom, Dad, I believe I'm gay," there's an instant relief on the sense of that individual because now it's spoken. But here's what happens. When the individual speaks that, all that intense turmoil is then immediately transferred to the family, Mom and Dad.
That's right.
That's where the grief and the myriad of emotions begin to surface.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right, Philip. And then the whole family is in distress.
Yes.
So I think you're absolutely right, because I think for the child that's been dealing with this for a long time, I think he comes up with all of these influences and comes up with his own conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And then he believes it with all of his heart. So then it's very important to process this very slowly and to take time to hear the heart of this young man or woman and know what's going on in their lives, because it's a very painful process then for both the parents and the child.
Yes.
That are engaged in this.
And you know, I read some many, many years ago, if we really want to be an effective communicator, the first three steps of being an effective communicator is listen, listen, listen.
Yeah.
In other words, keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely.
Yes. I think that's so true. And yet, you know, even listening is an art in itself, Philip. I think about sometimes, and I remember even in my own life raising my children, and I would be so busy, and maybe I'd be in the kitchen, you know, making dinner, and they would come in with this incredible topic they wanted to talk about that really demanded my attention, but I was under a deadline to get dinner ready or under a deadline to do this or that or the other, and I would listen with half an ear. And I think it's so important when we're listening to give eye contact to our children.
Yes.
To look at them, to put down whatever we're doing, listen to them, turn off the television, turn off the movies, whatever it is that has drawn your attention and kept your attention.
Yes.
And give your full attention to that child and look at them in the eye, listen to them with your whole being. And
yes.
That's so important.
And to be sure, what we say to the person is important, but equally important is how it is said.
Yes.
That can make all the difference in the world.
Yes. And I think it's as parents, we're so ready to give advice or to come up with an answer. You know, we as parents, that's been our role in the early years of our children, is to influence them, give them our opinions, tell them what to do.
Yes.
So that's the first thing that we want to do when we encounter a problem with our kids. And it's so important to use phrases like, "Tell me more," or "Can you explain this further?" So that there is something, you're not asking them yes and no questions.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting them to talk more deeply about whatever it is they want to talk about.
And that's very, very important, because even when a person says, "I'm gay," what are they really saying?
That's right.
Are they saying,
"Absolutely.
This is who I am, get over it and deal with it"? Or are they saying, "Okay, I'm battling this, but I'm not going to give in to it"?
Yes.
So when a person says, "I'm gay," you've got to break that down. What are they really saying?
That's right. But you don't need to ask him, "What are you really saying?" Because as far as he knows, he's saying it perfectly.
Yes.
So to be able to get him to explore that a little bit with him, "What do you mean by this? Tell me more about this. When do you remember this? And what do you remember about it?" And, you know, those kinds of questions that are not yes and no questions, but that will expand his thinking and explanation of whatever is going on in his emotions.
Yes.
Or her emotions.
Critically important for families, parents in particular, is to understand the difference between acceptance and approval. And I would take that a step further. It's critically important for Christians to understand the difference between acceptance and approval.
Mm-hmm.
As Christians, we accept all people. They are here because God divinely appointed that they would be here. Mm-hmm. But that does not mean that we necessarily agree with how they are living. Yes. And heaven knows today, especially here in America, everything seems to fall under one word these days, tolerance.
Yes.
And I'm wondering at this point, especially here in our nation, is everything covered by tolerance? Everything is to be accepted? I think not.
No, and I think this very issue, Philip, is one of the most difficult for families, because I talk a lot when I share with families how important it is to love their child.
Yes.
Now, for some people, they will interpret that phrase as, I must give in to him, or I must go along with him, or I must approve of him, or approve of his actions. And that's not true. We don't do very well in our culture loving our kids, but also putting boundaries in place for them to respect.
Yes.
So to be able to say, I love you with all of my heart, I will do whatever it takes to help you, but I want you to know this is not something that I can find in my heart to accept, because I don't believe this is what God wants for us.
Yes.
Or wants for you. But I will do everything. I love you. And to continue to emphasize the love and the commitment to walking with them through the process.
Yes.
So important.
And I would submit also that when we are dialoguing with individuals on this whole subject matter, we may hear some things we didn't necessarily want to hear.
Yes.
But there is value in giving the individual the opportunity to come into a safe environment and really, really share very specifically what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, in the spiritual sense, it's brought from darkness to light. And there again is when I believe God's Father says, okay, now we can go to work on this.
Yes, I really agree with that, Philip. And I think sometimes within the structure of the family, it's very difficult for kids to open up to the parents for whatever reason. Maybe I don't even know how to explain it, but maybe one mom's too close, or she tries to talk you out of it, or maybe dad is too harsh and he wants to punish you or do things like that. Sometimes it's important to sit with a counselor,
mm-hmm.
for like yourself, Philip, or like myself, where a child can openly express his feelings and not be afraid, because he's at least protected by that counselor.
Yes.
In that setting. So it's so important to have that. And I think about the different situations that I have been in. It's so good to have that third person available. But truth is so important to the Lord, Philip. I can't go far enough in my thoughts about that.
Yes.
But truth is so very important. So it is important for the truth to come out and to help parents to understand, again, this is not your fault.
Yes.
This is something that needs to be addressed. It needs to be helped. So swallow your tongue. Stick a sock in your mouth, whatever it takes, and just listen, you know? And
you know, you're bringing up truth again. I'm remembering your friend and mine, Joe Dallas,
yes.
who has spoken at many, many Living Stones conferences,
yes.
and authored many, many books. One line that always sticks with me, what Joe said, truth is, and truth matters greatly to God.
It really does, Philip. I know in my own... After I went through all of this, I began to look at my own life and say, okay, God, what do you need to do in me? What's wrong with me? And the first thing that God brought to me was the power that he felt was in truth and how important it was to him. If you study scripture, there are hundreds of passages on truth.
Yes.
And it's so important to understand that we cannot help the situation by deception.
Yes.
Or telling small lies or whatever, but truth is extremely important in the process.
Well, Carol, we are unfortunately out of time. This always goes much too quickly. Are you available to come back again next week?
Oh, I'd love to.
Thanks so much. By the way, would you share with everyone the website address for Living Stones Ministries?
You know, Living Stones Ministries is www.livingstonesministry.org. And you can reach them through that address.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for being here. I look forward to talking with you again next week. For all of our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in. Until next week, same time, same station, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large. With the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.